Ultimo Pasto, a Hannibal fanfic, written by The Cosmic Pebble, read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid. With the rating mature and the archive warnings, graphic depictions of violence and major character death. The relationships Will Graham / Hannibal Lecter and Will Graham and Hannibal Lecter. Additional tags: Wump, Point of View Bedelia Dumoyer, Dark Will Graham, Hannibal Lecter Loves Will Graham, Will Graham Loves Hannibal Lecter. Post-fall, Hannibal. Hannibal Lecter is a cannibal. Hannibal Lecter is the Chesapeake Ripper. Men crying. Cannibalism. Kissing. Cuddling and snuggling. Emotional manipulation. Amputation. Discord. Foyer à deux server. Hannibal. Kidnapping. Bedelia Dumoyer Wump. Team Wild Card. Summary. What happened at the dinner table the night Bedelia Dumoyer died? Work for Wump Wars on the FAD server. Oh, the sun was oppressive. It penetrated the thin skin of Will's eyelids, which were no match for its light. Red overtook his vision. He squinted, forehead scrunching. A throbbing pain materialized around his entire body. It was stinging, burning, aching, stabbing. He couldn't bring himself to move in any way past shallow breaths. He opened his eyes and was immediately blinded. Grunting, he shut them again and worked to slowly turn his head to the side. His neck cramped, and he grit his teeth. His skin burned. He slowly became aware of another voice in his ear, also whimpering in pain. Startled, he flung his left arm out and made contact with a hot, soaked chest. His eyes shot open. Hannibal. His face began to take shape. At first, it was an olive blur with indiscernible features, but his sharp cheekbones and maroon eyes quickly swam into focus. Will sucked in a breath at the sight of him, his hand squeezing Hannibal's arm.
Will.
A seagull called out in response. Waves lapped at their bare feet, and the water was warm.
Did we fall asleep?
All Will could remember was the stars, the moonlight, the blackness of blood, dragging themselves onto the shore before collapsing from exhaustion.
I think we did.
A laugh bubbled in his throat, but he didn't have the strength to release it. Hannibal's chest was covered with crimson blood, soaking through his shirt. There was a large rip at the side of the fabric, revealing ruined skin. Will brought his hand up to his own face, which stung worse than the rest of him, and touched a large, deep cut across his cheek. Wincing, he cautiously dug his fingers in and removed a slimy string of seaweed from inside the wound, tears springing into his eyes.
Fuck, that hurts.
He threw the seaweed aside.
Hannibal. Hannibal, how are we alive?
Hannibal licked his dry lips.
I don't know.
For once, Hannibal was completely clueless. They were both out of their element, thrust into a strange new place.
I thought we were done for. When I felt myself fading away, I thought that would be it.
He glanced down at the bloody sand beneath them.
How did we not die? I don't know, Will. I don't know.
His voice wavered. He rolled over onto his side, crying out in pain, and Will reached for him.
Oh my God.
Shit! Don't move anymore. Are you okay?
I'm fine. God, we're alive.
We are very, very much alive. Will couldn't take his attention away from the terrible pain. His vision was blurry, and as tears began to leak from his eyes, their salt dug into his wounds. Every memory of the fall, every memory of why he'd done what he did, it had all vanished. The only things that remained were the remnants of his animal instincts, his body's immediate desires to protect itself from harm. At the top of the cliff, Hannibal was dangerous. He was a pathogen that had worked itself into Will's body, and he wouldn't leave unless Will took drastic measures. Even after that, his body had survived. Hannibal was there. The pathogen was thriving. Perhaps they'd achieved symbiosis. Perhaps he wasn't a pathogen after all.
I'm sorry, Will whispered. We're alive,
Hannibal smiled weakly.
We're alive!
Will rolled onto his side as well, bringing them face to face. Their foreheads were centimeters away, and Will could feel Hannibal's breath on his upper lip. A magnetic pull drew them together. Hannibal's beauty was striking in the early morning sun, and all the tears in his brown eyes were just as powerful as a tsunami. They knocked Will onto his feet and pulled him into the depths of the ocean. They were alive for a reason. They'd surpassed the boundaries of the human body. Will held onto the back of Hannibal's neck and kissed him. He had never felt more sure of anything. Bedelia Dumaurier believes she is dining alone. She nurses a glass of cheap Cabernet she swindled from the support group and half-heartedly eats her leftovers from the previous night. Her legs are crossed as she sits in her cheapest dress. She wasn't prepared for any human contact today. She almost gets away with it. She can't handle eating any more dry steak and mushy broccoli. She dumps the remains of her food into the overfilled trash bag and sighs in exasperation. Quickly, she pulls her blonde locks into a bun and slips on a pair of sunglasses. It's well past sunset, but she'll do anything to avoid being recognized. She grabs her multi-tool from the counter with one hand and the garbage bag with the other. Outside, the weather is balmy and unpleasant. She regrets her move to Croatia. She thought it would be beautiful, which it often is, but it doesn't make up for the months of stifling heat. The blade of the tool points outward as she walks. A rustling sound startles her as she reaches the trash can. She grips the tool tighter and freezes. She waits for what feels like half an hour for the coast to seem clear again. When no other noises emerge, she resumes her walk. In goes the bag, and down goes the lid. Before she can turn back around, a strong pair of arms lock around her chest and silences her screams. A different pair of arms lightly encircles Will Graham's waist as he stands at the counter dicing vegetables. His husband rests his chin on Will's shoulder, whispering in his ear. "You look stunning," Hannibal says, with a light kiss on Will's cheek. Will closes his eyes and leans back into the embrace, heart pounding with excitement. "Thank you. So do you," he replies, and he means it. Their suits are divine. Hannibal had to help Will find a good match, and he certainly pulled through. The black tuxedo suits his figure well. Hannibal looks dapper as always, in deep burgundy. Hannibal tilts his head and inhales deeply, taking in Will's scent. He holds his breath for a moment, as if to savor it, before sighing with pleasure. Will feels Hannibal's breath rustle his hair. While Hannibal's eyes are closed, Will reaches for a few pieces of diced onion, holding them right under the man's nose. Hannibal flinches, confused, and when he opens his eyes, he scowls at an amused Will. "You little devil." He pushes Will's hand away while Will laughs. "My God. Quit smelling me like a dog, then." "You love it." Hannibal kisses Will's neck before lightly nipping at the skin. Will tenses. Moves like that are his weakness. Hannibal found that out last night. He still has to remind himself that this is his life now. After years of manipulation, suffering, and harmful displays of revenge and pride, he can relax in Hannibal's arms and fear nothing. Hannibal can hold him and trust him to stay. They both have significant scars to mark their journey here, but they wear them with pride. Hannibal kisses one of Will's now, the one on his forehead. "I'm sorry," he murmurs, as he always does when he touches one of Will's scars. He's never forgotten to apologize, and each time is still as genuine as the first. Often, Will doesn't reply. If he does, it's with a simple, "I forgive you." Tonight, however, he swivels around and embraces Hannibal back. "It's okay," he says. "You don't have to do that anymore." Hannibal melts in relief. "My darling Will, you're the only one I've ever wanted. You've got me. I'm not going anywhere." "Good." Hannibal tenderly kisses him on the lips. "Our first dinner together, like this, after. Our first as a family. Yes. Yes, as a family." He beams. A soft ding sounds through the kitchen, and they both jump. Hannibal breaks away, albeit reluctantly. "Oven's ready. Done with those?" They both glance down at Will's amateur dicing job. Will shrugs. "Pretty much, yeah." "They look great. You can fix them." Hannibal rushes to take over the job. The knife rapidly slams against the cutting board, his hands moving with grace and expertise. He dumps the vegetables into the dish along with a massive cut of meat. "I don't get how you do that so fast." "I didn't want you around the knife anyway, to be honest. Not with your injury." "It's not that bad." "No matter. She will pay for everything." Will smirks at his determination. He was soft around Will, but he can sense the rage festering underneath. Hannibal is furious. He has the right to be. After all, someone hurt his beloved. He was attempting to dress his new wound, wincing his pain as he cleaned it with warm water, when Hannibal entered the bathroom doorway. Will nearly jumped out of his skin at the sight of him, and he scrambled to cover his wound with a towel. "When do you get back? I didn't know you were home," Will said, with a charade of nonchalance.
"You're hurt,"
Hannibal remarked, rushing into the bathroom to examine him. He moved the towel aside. "What happened?" Will blinked back angry tears. He'd been a fool. He'd used the hose at the target's house to pressure wash his blood from the rocky backyard, but had that been enough? Could the police still find his DNA that way? Would they even check? Or would the world simply know what happened? After all, it was the only logical step. "I'm fine, it's just a cut. I didn't expect her to have a knife. Let me have a look, please." He gently held Will's arm, kissing near the wound. Such concern was new to Will, but it was more comforting than anything he'd ever known.
"It's not enough to need stitches, I don't think. Who did this to you?"
"I'll just have to show you."
"Is she here?"
"She's in the closet." Hannibal closed the door to the oven, wiping his hands before coming over to give Will another large hug. Will sags with his exhaustion. He could sleep here. He has slept here. Hannibal's arms are off in his blanket.
"Let's have a nice dinner. Table's set. We're getting the food ready. We don't have to hurt anymore."
"Fine by me." Will spares a glance towards the kitchen doorway. "Should we check on her?"
"Yes, but please don't get too close. She can't move her legs, but she could strike you if you aren't careful."
"There's no need to check. Bedelia hasn't gone anywhere. She still sits at the head of the table, her hair swept up and pinned with beautiful gems. She wears a silky black dress that comes down to her hips. Her left leg, all the way up to the mid-thigh, is gone. They've patched her up with gauze to cover the gory stump. She is hazy under the influence of the drugs, but her eyes harden with obvious contempt as the men enter the dining room. They stare at her, holding hands, silently daring her to protest the monster she helped create.
"You look lovely. The dress is immaculate," Hannibal says, squeezing Will's hand. The hunger is already boiling in his eyes.
They migrate to their respective spots at the table, one man on each side of Bedelia. Will raises his wine glass and smirks at her. Bedelia's lips press together into a thin line, and without warning she raises her arms and pushes the side of the table. The force is enough to send her chair tipping, and she sprawls out onto the floor. Desperately, she claws away at the ground and tries to inch forward with her elbows. Her body is too weak from the drugs to carry on for long, and she curls into herself with a loud moan of frustration. Hannibal, unfazed, gets up and takes her by the underarms. She groans with despair, crying, and Hannibal gently shushes her. He holds her, rocking her like a child, and pressing her face into his shoulder to dry her tears. Will clenched his teeth.
"You had to have known this would happen," Hannibal tells her. "Surely you must have known somewhere within you. This won't make things any easier, dear."
He runs his fingers through her hair, and that's enough to send Will over the edge. "Hannibal," he blurts out before he can stop himself. A flare of envy burns inside of him, his stomach churning. No one deserves that spot in Hannibal's arms except for him. Hannibal looks up, smiling when he sees the look on Will's face.
"My," he says, still holding on to Bedelia. "Someone's jealous."
Will swivels away, pouting as he drains the rest of his wine. Hannibal stands and places Bedelia back in her chair, and she sinks into it with defeat. He then returns to Will, bending over to kiss his forehead.
"I'd never forget about you, Will," he reassures. "After all, she is a lovely gift from my lovely partner."
Bedelia lay unconscious in the bedroom closet. Her mouth was gagged, and her wrists and ankles were bound with zip ties. Hannibal, upon laying eyes on her, slowly turned to face Will.
"She's for you," Will said.
"I brought her for you." Hannibal beamed with pride.
"That's the most beautiful gift I've ever gotten."
"Have you forgotten about our talk already?" Hannibal asks now.
"Say it again."
Hannibal can never resist him.
"You're all I've ever wanted."
He takes Will's chin in his hands and tilts Will's face upwards. He kisses Will on the lips, to which Bedelia screams in agitation. Will's heart is too busy palpating for him to notice.
"I should check the food. I'll be right back,"
Hannibal says, snatching up Will's empty wine glass.
"I'll bring you a refill, love, but I'd like you to slow down. This is good wine. Don't waste it."
"Thank you." Once Hannibal has gone back into the kitchen, Will places an elbow on the table and rests his chin on the back of his hand. He moves his chair closer to Bedelia. Hannibal's warning meant nothing to him. He could take care of himself. "Well," he says, "is there anything you wish to say? Want to get all your rudeness out?" Bedelia coils back and spits. It misses Will's face, instead plopping onto the tablecloth. Will cocks an eyebrow, amused. "Oh, Hannibal won't like that. If you apologize, I might clean it up before he gets back."
You? Bedelia grunts. "You fool. Falling right into his trap."
Her words blur together, and her voice is lacking in conviction. She is rife with defeat. "Strange apology," Will muttered to himself. This was fun.
"You've waltzed straight into his charade. He's using you, and you berated me for living with him. Look at you. You're the one who's crawled up his ass now."
Will chuckles darkly. Oh, I certainly have. A knowing smile creeps up his lips as he plays with one of the faux plate centerpieces. And he loves it more than I thought he would. Always begs to have me on top of him. Bedelia's upper lip curls.
"You're not suggesting that."
"I am absolutely suggesting." Will's smile cracks open into a grin. "I had a really enlightening evening, the night before we left the States. I've never been with a man before. Turns out, it's a lot of fun." The thought sends bile turning up her throat. Not the act itself, but the idea of these six psychopaths getting off on each other's deeds. Even worse, the idea that she helped create it. She planted ideas in both of their heads. She told Will the truth, hoping to have them out of her hair. And look where that brought them.
"Disgusting! You are disgusting!"
Bedelia lashes out at Will, grabbing onto his arm before he can jerk away. She digs her nails into the bandage on Will's wrist as hard as she can. If she can't escape, she's at least going to make their lives a living hell for the next few hours.
"You are a cocky, reckless, immoral, stupid man!"
"Bedelia." Will tugs on his arm, but her grip is iron. She is hell-bent on making him suffer. It was his fault. He disobeyed, after all. Hannibal always knew best. "There's nothing you can do now."
"This was inevitable." "Was it? Or do you just want to watch me suffer for no good reason other than your own sick fetish?"
She latches on with her other hand, leaning across the table now, and scratches with all of her might. She dangles halfway out of her chair, only one leg there to support her. She presses down on Will's bandages and slides her hand forward in an attempt to reopen the wound. Once again, they are struggling. A strong pair of arms locked around her chest, and Bedelia went into survival mode. Without thinking, without any sense of aim, she desperately swung the knife towards her attacker, getting lucky enough to dig the blade into his forearm and drag it along. He screamed, his grip loosening, and she slipped halfway out of his grip. But then he tackled her. When she saw his face, she was so stunned that she couldn't even bring herself to fight back. Will's blood dripped into her blonde hair.
"Bedelia, stop!"
When she twists, Will cries out in genuine pain, all smugness falling from his face. Bedelia watches the sudden show of humanity with an intense stare. A part of Will does still exist that isn't invisible, that hides from self-hatred behind a god complex. After all, that's all these two men are. Sick, crazy humans. At the sound of Will's suffering, Hannibal may as well have materialized into the room. He shoves Bedelia away, prying her fingers painfully away from Will's arm. She curses at him, thrashing about, and he leans close to her ear.
"Hold still right now," Hannibal says calmly, "or I will slit your throat and sip your blood right at the table."
He reaches into his pocket, extracting a needle. He examines the vial for air bubbles before nodding in satisfaction and plunging it into her intact thigh.
"Just half a dose for now," he says gently. "I can't have you fainting at the table."
The muscles in her legs begin to tingle, and the sensation fades away. Her remaining limbs are just as useless now as her sawed-off leg.
"I hate both of you."
"You are only making this more difficult for yourself." Hannibal plops her back down into her chair once again, more aggressively this time, and migrates right back to Will.
"Are you all right, love?"
He inspects Will's bandages. "I don't see any blood soaking through. Do you feel like you're bleeding?" "I'm okay, I think. Just hurt like a bitch." Will shrugs, glancing over at Bedelia like one would a wild pit bull. Knowing Will, even pit bulls got more respect. Didn't know she'd do that. We'll check on it later. Hannibal kisses the back of Will's wrist and finally takes his place at the table. He glares at Bedelia with a daring glint in his eyes.
But you two need to learn to get along. What's bothering you, Bedelia?
She glowers at both of them, refusing to answer. It's a joke of a question. She can't stand to be mocked at the lowest point in her life. After years of manipulating her way around Hannibal, dancing to his melody and skillfully avoiding his wrath, it all came down to this. Here she was, mere cattle to him, living what would probably be the last night of her life. Maybe she could have had a few more days if she hadn't been so aggravated, although she would rather die early than drag this out. The thought sparks hope. I'll behave, she concedes, if you agree to go ahead and kill me tonight, after dinner. I want you to make it fast. Both men raise their eyebrows. They share a glance across the table, deliberating with each other without even sharing a word. That's how close they've gotten, she realizes, and it's terrifying.
That can be arranged, Hannibal says.
Bedelia's shoulders relax, a morbid idea to find calming, she knows. Now all she can do is look forward to the end of this suffering. Her missing leg begins to throb with phantom pain. Tears brim in her eyes.
Don't cry. Do not give them the satisfaction of your tears.
She clears her throat and adjusts her posture as best she can. She wants answers, and someone has to make conversation.
Can you? I want to hear the story of what happened, between the moment you left my office.
She looks over at Will, and this moment right now. What happened between you two? Hannibal chuckles.
It's a lot of content to cover in mere minutes, he admits. I'm afraid I hardly have the words for it.
Try. You always have words. You told me that Hannibal was in love with me, Will says, and asked me if I ached for him. You put a name to the feeling that had been bothering me for so long. He looks over at Hannibal with admiration. It was emptiness. It was ache. I had to fill the void.
How much of the news have you read? Hannibal asks her. Do you remember the dragon?
I remember he nearly murdered your wife and child, she says to Will. Will's face betrays no emotion at that. At the advice of a certain Hannibal Lecter. Weren't you angry about that?
I was, but no angrier than I am at him killing other innocent people.
He takes a sip of wine. Molly and Walter were...
I cared about them. I really did. But Hannibal ended many people I cared about.
Not your wife and child of 2 years.
I had convinced myself that I loved them, that I wanted them. Will frowns. But that wasn't the case. I was acting. I was pretending I could be normal, like a child plays pretend with their dolls.
What happened to your empathy, Will? What became of that man who felt everything?
He never went anywhere, Hannibal interjects. His feelings were merely directed elsewhere. They always were, and he refused to admit it.
Mental forts, Will adds. Walls blocking me from everyone on the outside.
Hannibal seeped through like water. Unstoppable force and immovable object.
There is clear adoration in his voice, a sense of surprise even now that Hannibal was able to break through.
He moved me.
Bedelia suppresses an eye roll.
You spoke of the dragon?
He's dead, yes.
We killed him together, Will nods. And once that was over, I was completely overcome, baptized, born anew. I realized that I didn't want to live this life, but I also couldn't live any other way. I couldn't decide, so I threw us both off the cliff where they found the dragon.
Bedelia blinks, taken aback.
You survived?
We landed in the water, Will explains, as if that makes much of a difference.
We came out worse for wear, but alive. We bonded for eternity that night, I think. Finally finished blurring our psyches together.
We couldn't believe that we were alive.
Hannibal smiles lovingly over at him. We thought that it had to mean something.
Why?
At the sight of both men's confused gazes, Bedelia elaborates.
Why do you think you're so made for each other? What does he have that your wife doesn't, Will?
First of all, Molly deserved a lot better than me. My departure isn't going to be all that devastating. Will crosses his arms.
Bedelia thought of Molly's social media pages, of how every image with Will had been completely erased, and now, Jack said she was in a rural town in the Northwest. far, far away from Baltimore, living with family. She may never live alone again. But anyway, Will continues, I was never myself when I was with her. Something didn't feel right in the way I was acting.
You felt like you weren't being yourself?
Yes, but I also didn't even know who myself was supposed to be. He shrugs.
Hannibal gave you that sense of identity, didn't he?
Bedelia realizes.
Something felt just right. Scratch that exact itch that you were searching for.
Yeah, I just knew that I wasn't myself with her. I've never known myself as well as I know myself when I'm with him. And it feels good.
What I think, Hannibal adds, is that you were resigned to the fact that no one could ever love your true self, and now that someone does, you feel a sense of euphoria.
He pauses.
At least, that's how I feel about myself. Perhaps it's not the same for you.
Trust is difficult for both of you, then. Bedelia looks back and forth between them.
It requires vulnerability, surrender of self-preservation. When you find someone you can trust, you latch on.
Speaking her helps her ignore her terror. She is acclimated to sociopaths.
I thought I'd be alone forever. But I'm not anymore.
Will gives a small smile. Another question boils inside of Bedelia, desperate to be answered.
Do you two love each other?
I love him, Hannibal says. I am infatuated with the very concept of him. He drives me mad. He blushes. Will takes his hand from across the table.
I love you.
He lightly kisses Hannibal's knuckles.
You drive me wild.
Hannibal relaxes.
I think that's the first time you've said that.
Was kissing you first not enough? Will teases in return. Was taking my wedding ring off not enough?
I get it. You're a man who can't appreciate words of affirmation.
Was this inevitable, then? Bedelia swallows.
This relationship? This situation?
Hannibal seems to understand exactly what she means.
This isn't your fault, Bedelia, he says. Knocking a little bit of sense into Will was not the final straw.
Yeah, don't think like that. All you did was tell me the truth. There was nothing that could have prevented what happened. Will finally looks at Bedelia with something other than mockery. So, no, you didn't bring this on yourself. That's my say on it.
I did, though, simply by knowing you two. I brought this on myself.
There's a faint ding from the kitchen. Hannibal stands without a word and goes to check on the meal. The meal that consists of her. A tear rolls down her cheek. Will waits until he is out of earshot.
Trust me, Bedelia,
he says, leaning cautiously forward. His eyes are still wary of her. This was inevitable from the moment Hannibal Lecter laid eyes on you. It's not your fault for being who you are. You did nothing to cause it. You can do nothing to stop it. He always gets what he wants.
He wants you so much more than he wants me.
He does want me. Always has. And now, I want him back.
You didn't always.
No, I didn't always. But he opened my eyes. He showed me that he could love the real me when no one else ever has. And I can love the real him.
He is dangerous. He is manipulative.
He hurt me in the past, of course. But the love he gives me now. He presses his bandaged wrist to his lips, kissing the same spot that Hannibal did. It's worth it. He has completely saved me.
So, this is really it? This is your choice?
This is my choice. It's more than that, actually. This is my design. It's where I am meant to be. Will leans back in his chair, warm candlelight dancing across his face. His clean, swept hair shines. His suit is immaculately pressed. Clear jewels in the chandelier above them catch the light of the flames, casting diamonds down onto his figure. He smiles. When he speaks, there is pure, unadulterated euphoria in his voice.
And oh God, I love it!
Bedelia's death is quick and painless. Once the light drained from her eyes, the two men must deliberate on what to do with her body. Hannibal has plans, but at Will's insistence, they bury her quietly in the forest. They no longer have the appetite to eat the rest of her. The next night, Hannibal is crafting a beautiful melody on the harpsichord. His mind is elsewhere, so his hands move of their own volition, effortlessly playing a song he learned so long ago. It is muscle memory now. Someone sinks down on the bench next to him. It's Will, who leans his head on Hannibal's shoulder and hums along to his piece. Hannibal's fingers lighten their pressure, and the piece discreetly lowers in volume. He loves to hear Will's voice. He's never heard Will sing, but judging by the beautiful tone of his hums, smooth like honey and perfect in pitch, he must be pretty decent. Hannibal continues the piece, stopping one bar early in order to hear Will finish the measure by himself. He does, and it's perfect. It's chamomile and cream and melted dark chocolate. The notes ring low in his throat. He's a bass, a deep, natural bass. "I love that song," he says softly. Hannibal kisses his cheek. "I wrote it for you." "Did you?" Hannibal rummages through the papers to find the first page of music. Along the top, written in small calligraphy, are the words, "For Will." Will blushes. "Didn't you write it before all of this?" Will points to the date in the top left corner. 2014. Years ago now. "Yes. I wrote it when I realized I was in love. It was a call to you." Will peeks at the ink that spells out his name. It's dry, just as old and faded as the rest of the music's text. He can't fathom the idea of a song being written just for him. "Hannibal," he says, "you understand, right?" "Understand what?" "Why I did it. Why I brought Bedelia here." "Of course I understand." Hannibal reaches up to brush a dark curl off of Will's forehead. His blue eyes flick upwards. "If you hadn't done it, I probably would have. She made me so angry." Will's hands curl into fists. Hannibal glances down at the new bandage on Will's wrist. "Everything she did, it struck me in so many wrong ways. She was arrogant and selfish and thought she was immortal." Hannibal smirks. "Are we not the same way? Why didn't you ever hurt her?" The words come out of nowhere. Hannibal's brows furrow in confusion, and he brings a hand to Will's cheek. Upon making contact, however, Will turns away, and it drives a stake through Hannibal's heart. "She made it through months. Months, Hannibal. She lived with you. She toyed with you. She hurt you. And she threw you under the bus to protect herself. And yet, she got to make it out unscathed." Will's shoulders hunch forward. "I didn't do anything to you. And you literally drove me insane. Melted my fucking brain. When I double-crossed you, you stabbed me. She convinced you to cut my head open, and she didn't get any kind of punishment. Darling, aren't I the one you're supposed to love? Why did I have to be the one to bring her here, like some kind of desperate cat that brings in roadkill to impress its master? Why did you hurt me so much?" "Will, love, stop. Stop." Hannibal takes his shoulder and turns Will towards him again. He holds the man's face in his palms, thumbs stroking his cheeks. Will is crying. "I promise I regret hurting you with every inch of my soul, and I swear on my life that I will never hurt you again. Please know that. Please." "How can I?" "I will never hurt you again," he reiterates. "Okay? Do you understand?" Will takes a deep breath before nodding slowly. Hannibal's muscles relax. "Bedelia was... she was nothing to me. She was vaguely interesting. I couldn't care less whether she lived or died, and I didn't find her worthy of my time, my attention. When she hurt you, though, my God, I was furious with her once I realized it. I decided that I wanted to make her suffer, and I wanted it to be long and difficult. Before I went to prison, I left her a letter. I'm not sure if you know about it or not, but it was only to torture her. I told her that I had people watching her, and that one day I would break out and kill her. I said that I'd always know where she was, and at any moment I might tell the FBI that she was my co-conspirator to murder. I don't know if it worked, but it was all I could do. She wasn't at home. I couldn't find her and kill her. That was my first plan."
"Hannibal, that's all so mild."
Will frowns, exasperated. "Like I said," Hannibal stressed, "I wish I had never hurt you. I let my curiosity get the best of me, and I figured that since I hardly knew you, it was okay. And then, after you lied about working with the FBI, I let my emotions get the best of me." He pulls Will's head towards his shoulder and rests it there. Will's hand rests lightly on his thigh.
"I feel," Hannibal says. "I feel with the strength of a million men, and no one realizes that. I was so curious, so desperate to save myself from being caught, that it overtook me. I was so devastated when you lied to me that I reacted on impulse to your betrayal. He kisses Will's temple. Because I love you, Will. I was ready to abandon the world and love only you. And then it was all crushed. I don't blame you. After that night, I've never blamed you for working with Jack. I regretted everything the moment that blade went into you. He sighs. I should have worked to hurt Bedelia more, you're right. But I was more focused on getting her back than punishing her. I put you over her, and I always would have. I just wasn't thinking. Sometimes I don't think enough, and I know it. He laughs. It's really frustrating. Sometimes I don't feel enough. Will sounds drained of his voice and spirit. Like I should feel more satisfaction for killing Bedelia. But I don't. I should be angrier with you. But I'm not. I want to love you. We cannot mend the teacup, beloved. Do not harbor emotions that could hurt you or us. You want to love me? Then love me. I already do, Will murmurs. I have since the moment before you stabbed me. That's never changed. Then time is ours, then. Enjoy it. Hannibal wraps his arms around Will and buries him in a hug. You told me in the kitchen that I didn't have to say sorry anymore. I lied. I am so sorry, Will. I am so sorry for everything. If I could turn back time, I would. Hannibal massages his scalp. All I can do is give you luxury now. Rebuild your trust. I love you, Will replies. I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry. He trails off and nuzzles his nose into Hannibal's neck, kissing him. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm sorry I got mad. Oh, stop that. You have every right. Feel free to do it again. Hannibal smiles. But only if you kiss me a lot afterwards. Will's voice tapers away as his throat closes up. Silent tears start to stream down his face. I'm sorry. I love you. Oh, darling. Hannibal can feel his heart melting inside of his chest. An overwhelming rush of affection captures him. I love you, too. He leans in and brushes his lips lightly against Will's, feeling the fragile nerves tingle. Will's breath enters his mouth, and he feels dizzy. He tastes like wine. I love you so much. Please. He takes Will gently by the upper arms and helps him stand. Let's go rest, all right? Will nods. They walk into the bedroom, and Hannibal pulls down the comforter. He helps Will strip off his clothes and climb under the covers. As he does so, he cannot ignore the quivering of Will's bottom lip, the glistening tears. There is no need to cry, dear. No more tears, please. I'm here. Hannibal fluffs the pillow for him and kissed his forehead. I'll be right back. I'm getting us some water. Do you want anything? How's your wrist? It hurts. Maybe a couple of Tylenol? Will sniffs. Hannibal retreats. Once he has a few steps out of the room, deep into the hallway, Will blinks and wipes his cheeks. His eyes go dry and his shaking halts. A smirk grows on his face as he stares up at the ceiling. I love it, Bedelia. He whispers to himself. This is the life. He is warm. He is happy. He is madly in love. He's got the most handsome man in the world wrapped tightly around his finger. Once Hannibal's footsteps return, it's not hard to put the mask back on. His nose is still stuffy, and he puts the dejected puppy look back into his eyes with the ease of a pro. He pops the pills Hannibal gives him and watches intently as he takes off his clothes, too. Instantly, he craves Hannibal's chest, his reliable pillow. Hannibal winced as he slipped off his shirt, revealing a gaping crimson hole in his torso. Will couldn't help but stare, not at the wound, but at his chest. It was tan and square and covered with a layer of coarse hair, as well as a sheen of sweat. He forced himself to ignore it as he bandaged Hannibal's injury, blood quickly seeping into the white gauze. Later, as they prepared for a short yet well-deserved few hours of sleep, Will couldn't control himself anymore. He wrapped his arms around Hannibal's neck, buried his face in that chest, and began to cry. Real tears, real sadness, real relief. A hand caressed his hair. Oh, Will,
Hannibal said lovingly, kissing the top of his head. Oh, sweet Will. A peculiar sensation rang through Will's heart. It wasn't pain. It was a skipping feeling, a ray of pure need. He felt so loved in that moment. So complete. That was how he learned that tears work. He had been using them ever since. Hannibal flicks off the lamp and crawls into bed. He holds Will close to him, and Will rests his ear against his warm sternum. His heartbeat booms in Will's head, and Will finds a steady rhythm that eventually heavies his eyelids. He's halfway between sleep and wake when Hannibal tilts his head down to whisper in his ear.
You little drama king, he teases. You liar. Crocodile tears.
Caught red-handed, Will laughs.
I just like seeing you cave, he replies. You turn into a puddle. It's cute. You like when I fawn over you. I'll always do that, love. You don't have to fake it. Just ask. I don't want to be needy. That's not needy. That's love. It's you loving me after having to hold back for so long.
Hannibal kisses the curve of Will's ear.
Ask. Just ask. Can you...
It's... You can do it. Just hold me, Hannibal. I'm jealous. Hold me tighter than you held Bedelia.
It'll delight you to know that she and I have never had sex. That's specifically a Will Graham privilege.
They both giggle together, beaming in the darkness. They kiss each other on the lips before drifting to sleep. A heartbeat their guide. The end. Got the things I deserve and I didn't even try. I can see what I'm worth only through another sight. And you think I'm a tragedy. And you can feel bad for me.
If you feel